The Made Local Marketplace isn't just a store. It's the future.
I think we're the first store in the whole county that only has locally made products.
The Work With Lounge is a relaxed place to get a business working.
It's a way to support the local economy by supporting the people who produce things here.
The Share Exchange really is about sharing, and more than that, is a blueprint for a new community. Join me, your host, Daniel Kirvine, on Shift Shapers as we interview Kelly Rajala, 16 months after the launching of the Share Exchange. We'll talk about cooperatives, time banks, urban farming, and transitioning to a local economy. That's today, Wednesday, April 4th, 4 to 6 p.m. on Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio, here on KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa, the East Bay, and the North Bay.
For just one day, I want to break all regulations, because we all go the same way, and we all pass the same station. For just one day, I want to feel totally free. No responsibilities, just everything is okay. No desires, just surviving is the key. Surviving is the key. Surviving is the key. Surviving is the key.
We're all walking with 148 toxic compounds in our tissue at any moment. A baby born in Birmingham or Boston or Bend, Oregon this morning has 287 chemical compounds in her tissue.
The reality is that we've gone so far out on a limb that it's going to be a difficult process. Adjustment. We have some hard times ahead of us.
The real evil of our time is not this individual hot evil we continue to concentrate on, despite the real suffering it causes, but rather a cold evil.
And unless we begin to make efforts now to reinforce our satellites and power grid, we could have something maybe 10 times bigger than Katrina. We're talking about the loss of all electricity and all satellite activity. We'd be thrown 100 years back into the past.
I want to ignore a senseless fate. Colors are victorious over the gray. Stop to get controlled by the state. For just one day, I want to forget the value of money and gold. I want to live life my way and lose my inhibition threshold.
We're talking about a potential Katrina from outer space. C-12, we do expect, perhaps, another big one.
Facing a kind of wall here.
Short circuit all the transformers and blow out the satellites and fry the communications grid. Then you're talking about knocking out the United States for months before we can get enough rescue crews and repairmen. Not just one city, but hundreds of cities around the United States.
This is what we have to expect. Unemployment, homelessness, bank failures, hunger, crime, political instability, and international conflict.
So the Earth shifted 3 inches as a consequence of that 8.8 earthquake. The day is no longer 24 hours. It's been shortened by 1 microsecond. That's how.
Just one day.
What's going on here is nothing less than the fruits being born of a diabolic but truly magnificently orchestrated colonization effort of our country and our world.
So we're going to actually see more of this kind of seismic activity, more volcanoes, more swings in the weather. We wiped out with simultaneous blackouts in 100 cities.
Dane danger zone where we may have already triggered self-fueling processes like the melting of the permafrost.
And we're talking about a potential Katrina from outer space.
So we really don't have a lot of time.
Just surviving is the key. Surviving is the key. Surviving is the key. Surviving is the key.
And welcome to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Kerbine. You're listening to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. So what we've been listening to here is the introduction theme to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. And that is a mashup of quite a few voices. They're all futurists. They're all people who have something to say about what's coming. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that specifically in our second hour, which is our 5 to 6 p.m. hour, getting a little bit more into what's happening with the climate these days and how it's starting to creep into the mainstream media that we have a situation that is being dominated by climate change. And that climate change is being driven by global warming, and the global warming is being pushed forward by carbon dioxide emissions produced by humans. That's in our second hour, 5 to 6 p.m. Right now, we have some successes in the community of Santa Rosa and in the local area of Sonoma County and possibly beyond that are going to be related to us and shared with us by our guest here in the studio. We have here in the studio this afternoon Kelly Rajala, who is the founder, and I'm going to get some more titles from you here, Kelly, as well. But thank you for being here today on Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio.
I'm thrilled to be here.
I remember when, in fact, we played a promo, and we've been playing a promo for some time now, certainly today several times, that has some quotes from you describing what the Share Exchange is, the Work With Lounge, some of these concepts. But at that time that those recorded, those came out of an interview from December 2010 when you had not opened the Share Exchange yet. We were talking, and when you listen closely to the interview, you can hear the echoes because we are in an empty building.
That's right. Yeah, it was empty. The walls were white. It was barren and stark, and it looks a lot different now.
And it is far from being empty, and it's very busy. So what is it all that you've launched there, and how does it fit in with creating new communities that are all about cooperative ventures and just really helping each other out as we go into the future? I'm very curious about how that's been part of the design, and that's how it's been playing out.
Oh, that was intentional from the beginning. So in a big nutshell, I call the Share Exchange a local economy center. That's kind of the big picture, is we're going to be reinventing the economy. We know that everything is crumbling around us. Signs are not looking good, that business as usual is on track. In fact, it's not. And we're going to need to figure it out ourselves as our own community. And I feel strongly that communities everywhere need places to gather, to innovate, to share, to come together and figure out the way forward. And so that's the big picture of the Share Exchange. In the past year, it's taken us a year to coalesce it all down. And so we've got four things going on there. The first is when you walk through the door, we've got the Made Local Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a little retail store that only sells products that are made in Sonoma County. So all locally made. And I can tell you more about that. That's very cool and exciting and fun and colorful. The second thing is we've got a co-working space. And at the moment, I believe we're the only co-working space in Sonoma County. And so this is shared workspace for entrepreneurs, people looking for jobs, people trying to create jobs for themselves. This is a trend that's happening all over the world.
Right. I've seen it happening in San Francisco. I have seen it there.
There are 14 co-working spaces in San Francisco. So it's but we're one of the first getting it rolling here. And so that's been interesting to be educating people on what co-working is and the benefits of it.
Yes, and the people that are coming in there, and I'll let you get back to what you're saying. One of the things I'm noticing is that people are creating that together. One of the co-working spaces that I saw in San Francisco was all about tech, and everybody that had put it together were creating new tech stuff. But it really looks as though people in the Share Exchange are just The people who show up and take part in it are creating it.
That's very true. We have people that come there to work. We have people that come there for meetings. There are people who meet there and just spontaneously have creative things happen. It's a real true gathering place, and people there are trying to get things done. And, you know, I think that's pretty exciting. So the third element is after work hours, so after 6 p.m. during the week and on the weekends, the space is available for classes and workshops and all kinds of events. So events is our third component. And I'm really excited to announce that we are launching our nonprofit arm. Now, we've been doing nonprofit work for a long time, but we're calling it officially the Local Economy Institute. And we're fiscally sponsored by Community Ventures. They do a lot of work. In fact, they're big into co-ops and community ownership. And it's Jenny Kasson's nonprofit. She works with Janelle Orsi, who wrote The Sharing Solution. So these are big cooperators and sharers. And so it's really nice to be in partnership with them for the nonprofit side of what we're doing.
Now, what I've gotten from you so far is that there are three components to the share exchange. What I've heard so far, and maybe you can like clarify that if there's a fourth one, there's, of course, the Made Local Marketplace. And then when you go in beyond that, there's the large shared work area or shareable work area.
The co-work space.
Mm-hmm. And then there is, and that is the work Now I'm forgetting.
We called it the Work With Lounge.
The Work With Lounge.
Yeah, that's how we launched it. But we're trying to refine the name. So now it's called Co-Work Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. It's a co-working space.
It's a co-working space.
At the Share Exchange.
At the Share Exchange. And so I have now two components down. So third
events.
Is the events. And then the fourth is where you're actually going to start incubating cooperative.
That's it's the nonprofit side of
amazing.
What we're doing. So it's all about local economies. So it's research. We'll be doing all kinds of research on what makes thriving, resilient local economies. And I have a great partner in that, Joanne Brion of Brion Associates. She's an economist. Then we'll do trainings. So that will be part of it, education and training, and then awareness building. So we already show movies and have speaker series and things along those lines just to make people more aware of the issues we're facing, what some of the solutions are. But we'll formalize that into the nonprofit side.
And I have been at the Share Exchange when a number of things have been happening, spiritual events, and also when people just taking care of their business, making presentations to clients. Also, when some people were showing a movie. And also, I've been there on a weekend when there was a class on web design, creating a website. So there's been quite a variety of activities there. That is for sure.
Yeah, well, last year we did held over 150 events just in 1 year. And that was a lot, our first year of being open, and we're already on track to surpass that this coming year. Yeah, we have classes and workshops both for business, you know, related to businesses and entrepreneurship, but also community events, and just ranging from the fun and interesting, like magic shows, to educational, like movie nights, and speakers on different topics. So we've got this whole range. Some of the events we put on and some of the events other people put on. So the space is available for other people to rent and do their own workshop or class. Or tonight, the Bicycle Coalition is having a gathering there. So, yeah, lots, and we do a lot in partnership like that.
So the concept, though, isn't exactly like, for instance, a cultural center like La Peña, for instance, in Berkeley, where you'd have a pre-printed schedule of events. Some of the things that happen at the Share Exchange are just the people who are there are doing them. They're not really scheduled. They just have they're members. And it's a membership sort of thing, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah. So the co-working side is by membership.
Right.
And our membership is very flexible and open and very reasonably priced. So you can drop in for the day. You can get a month membership, a three-month membership, or an annual membership, which is the best deal. And so to give you an example, it's $400 for the whole year. And if you imagine what it costs to rent an office for a month, you know, it's a smoking deal. People are pretty thrilled because it's a fun space. We've got high-quality equipment there for people to use. And there's nothing else like it. It's this combination and confluence of business and the social side and the environmental side. It's a true local economy center.
And it is. I have actually been there for a business meeting, and I have had some involvement here and there with the share exchange. That's one of the things, one of the reasons why I have invited Kelly to be on the program today, because in my way of looking at things, this is something where it actually is like having an office. And people, one of the things that I've learned from coming in, someone who I was talking about some business with, who said, okay, well, I'm a member of the share exchange. Let's go meet over there. We'll find a desk there and a table, and we'll bring the laptop, and I'll show you what this program here is all about. And there are people doing that all the time. And what you find is that you don't really need to have an office all the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and have to pay for what it takes to do that. It's more like you need the office for business meetings rather than meet at the pizza shack. You're going to go in someplace where you actually have you have a business-like atmosphere and relative quiet.
Right. We have, a good example is we have some parents who have young kids at home, and they need some peace and quiet to work. So to get out of the house, but not to go to the local coffee shop, you know, where there's other distractions, the share exchange is that third place, that other place where people can go and have a nice focused workplace or have casual meetings or meet with clients. We have some business consultants who are members and meet with clients there on a daily basis. We have a member who's a tutor, and so she teaches English, Spanish, and math to both kids and adults. And so she uses the conference room to do her tutoring. It's a pretty vibrant place. Lots going on.
I remember when we first talked about it, you described it, I think, as it was along the lines, the way I understood it. I don't know if you used the word, but I understood it like it's a business incubator. It's part of helping businesses get started by providing something that money alone can't really provide. Was I close on that?
Yeah. In fact, we do call it a small business incubator. There's this void in the world of business where very small businesses are kind of stuck. They don't have enough funds coming in to rent an office, or that's too much overhead for them. They can't get a loan because they don't have a track record.
Mm.
They need to make connections in the community in order for their business to thrive. But where do you go to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So our target market are really people, sole proprietorships, people starting projects, people who want to get a change of career from something that they've grown tired with or is not as meaningful to them, but they want their work to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to find purpose in their work. And we're the perfect place for people like that to come, people with shared values who see that working collaboratively, working together, just working, period, can be a totally fun and fulfilling experience.
And another piece that could be missing if you didn't know that it was available, that you could find it at the share exchange, is where can you have meetings? It's where can you have a group of a half a dozen people or more that you want to make a presentation to them, or you have a common interest, and you don't need a big meeting hall. It's something where you're there to, and you're not there every day necessarily, but you do need a meeting place, and maybe you want to schedule it on some sort of regular basis. Whatever the situation is, that's another thing. That's actually more difficult to do than having an office.
Right. Well, and our space is pretty unique in that it's got whiteboards for planning. It's got restrooms. It's got a kitchen. We've got projector and screen. We've got all these things in there that really help facilitate a good meeting. And so our members are really taking advantage of that too. So one of our business consultants has courses on how to perfect your elevator speech or how to use social marketing like Facebook and Twitter. We have the Sustainable Enterprise Conference people meet there. The Occupy group meets there. We have a fashion designer that's teaching fashion design to young gals. It's like, you name it, there's interesting stuff happening.
One of the things that interests me and has always interested me since the beginning of meeting you, Kelly, and finding out what you're up to there with the Share Exchange is that, for instance, your website address, I don't know if it still is, but I think it is, that it still has the .coop at the end of it. And that is something pretty special. That is something that indicates that you're involved with and have an interest in and actually have created that something that's cooperative. And can you say a little bit more about that for people who don't know what that is?
Yeah. We are filed with the state of California as a California Consumer Cooperative. Hmm. And there are different types of co-ops. There are marketing co-ops and buying co-ops and food co-ops and babysitting co-ops and nursery school co-ops. But what we're working on becoming is a worker-owned co-op so that the business itself is owned by the people who work there. We haven't gotten all the nuts and bolts put in place yet, but we know that's what we want to be. I am a big fan of the cooperative business model because it's a hybrid between a nonprofit and a for-profit. So it functions for the benefit of its members. It has education as part of its mission, cooperation as part of its mission, and that's the world we need to move into.
Isn't that something? You're listening to Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio. And in this studio, on the Shift Shapers program, with me, your host, Daniel Kerbine, I have Kelly Rodula, who is the director of the Share Exchange, which is on Fifth Street. What's the address for the Share Exchange?
531 Fifth Street.
531 Fifth Street. What's the phone number there?
583-7667.
And what we were talking about in the first half hour is just about the concept of the Share Exchange. What are some of the activities that take place there and what it was designed to handle? And so we're going to go a little bit further and talk a little bit about cooperative ventures, because we'd finished the half hour in a conversation about how the Share Exchange itself is moving forward to becoming and getting itself established as a worker-owned cooperative, and is definitely very pro that concept. Now, for those who don't understand it, Kelly is going to share what that is.
So worker-owned cooperatives are businesses that are owned by the employees. So that is a wealth-sharing strategy, and I think it's a way to build strong local economies where you don't have one CEO who makes all the money and everybody else makes minimum wage. No, that doesn't happen with a worker-owned co-op. The employees all have a say in major decisions that are made, and usually there are ratios put into place where the top paid person in the business can't make more than three or four times what the lowest paid worker is. So there's a lot more equity and fairness in that type of organization. And I'm just learning about it myself. One of the things that we want to get off the ground this year, if we can, is to start a training program on how to run worker-owned co-ops that we would be going through ourselves. But I have a good friend who's a co-op development specialist, and he would come in and create the curriculum. And hopefully those classes would be available to people throughout the North Bay.
Now, there are more co-ops in the North Bay of California and in Sonoma County, but certainly in the North Bay of California than people even realize. A lot of people probably enjoy Alvarado Street Bakery bread and may not realize that that's the product of a worker-owned co-op. And if I'm not mistaken, there are others. I think even the community market is on that model. I'm not sure, but there are a number of other models, and it always surprises me when I find that out, but maybe it doesn't surprise you, Kelly. Are you seeing that as something that's growing?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a growing trend in cooperative businesses. In fact, there was an event this past weekend down at Dominican College on worker ownership. They brought people over from Mondragon, Spain. Mm-hmm. That's the largest cooperative region in the world. And people are definitely tuned into what's going on over there and how successful they've been, and want to bring that model here to the United States. In fact, one of my favorite examples where co-ops are really taking off is in Cleveland, Ohio.
I've heard of this. Yeah, that there are laundries,
solar companies, and plant nurseries.
Now, why would anybody want to work at a worker-owned cooperative? What are some of the benefits that they would get from that?
Well, they're an owner, so there would be more profit sharing. They help make decisions about the company. So rather than being subject to what the management tells you to do or not do, you actually are part of the decision-making structure and help lay out the path for the future of the business as well.
And do you have a model where the CEO makes 200 times what the next highest paid person makes?
That doesn't happen in a worker-owned co-op. The workers would not let that happen.
But does that And I'm asking leading questions. Actually, what I've heard from people at other places at our co-ops is that they actually get paid. They get pretty good healthcare setups, and they get paid pretty well compared to other people working in the same field because they don't have that dichotomy between the extremely high-paid head honcho and the peons below.
That's right. I've heard that at Alvarado Street Bakery, the average wage for the factory line workers who are making the loaves of bread is something like $65,000 a year, $33 an hour. That's pretty good money.
And that's where somebody working on a line in basically a factory is thinking the way it used to be. Like you could actually purchase a home. You could actually put your kids through college.
Right.
Those were the days. When people talk about America today, they say there was a time in America when you could actually own a home when you worked at the plant.
Right.
You could actually have all the stuff. You could put your kids through college. That's totally deteriorated in America today. Everybody knows it.
Right.
It's common knowledge. It's commonly talked about. I'm not being radical saying it. Everyone's saying it.
Well, and we've shipped our jobs offshore. I mean, there are a whole bunch of things that need to get righted. You know, that we need to right the ship because the ship is kind of sinking at the moment. And I think, you know, if people really look hard at the situation, most people would agree with us.
And it seems as though today that the model of cooperation, especially when we see the amount of deterioration in the economy anyway, that people can't be expecting somebody from on high giving you the job, giving you the goodies, giving you the healthcare setup, that people really need to start looking at, you know what, we've got to do this for ourselves.
That's right. Yep. This is, I think we're moving into the people's economy, and the people need to take responsibility for creating jobs for themselves and creating goods that the community really needs. We need to make sure we're producing things that we actually need.
Yes.
And that's a big piece of this, too.
One of the people on the theme music that I play at the beginning of the program is a futurist. Definitely a futurist. And he is someone who has written about the situation with our deteriorating supplies of fuel. His name is Richard Heinberg. It used to be called peak oil. I just call it fuel shock now. Just like, you know, climate change. Who cares if you want to call it climate change or global warming? It's climate shock. Let's call it what it is. And oil peaked 5 years ago. So what he's been saying in his book, The End of Growth, is that 1,000 little tchotchkes from China are not going to be what people need. They actually aren't now, but just people haven't gotten the message yet.
Well, and we have so much stuff. If we could figure out how to share our stuff, do we really need more stuff? Yeah, we have a lot to figure out, and I think people like Richard Heinberg are great leaders, actually. I wish more of Richard's messages along the lines of the end of growth would filter into the mainstream, because it is – I've not chosen the easy path here.
And it is – right. Yeah. When you were first launching the share exchange – there were some other initiatives that got started there as well, and there's been a lot of interest. And one of the ways that I know – now, if you want to look at a prior interview with Kelly Rajala having to do with the share exchange, you can go to the Shift Shapers podcast, which is at www.blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ Shift Shapers. That's SHIFTSHAPERS. And when you scroll through there, you'll find an interview with Kelly Rajala. And this was taking place in an empty building that we were talking about in the last half hour. And there have been some other initiatives that were started there as well. And where you and a number of other people teaming with you started Time Bank.
Yep.
And Tool Lending Library.
The Tool Library had started. I'm on the board of the Tool Library.
Yeah.
That had been going for at least a year, and Dustin's doing an amazing job with the
That's
Santa Rosa.
Still there.
Yeah, they are on the same street that we are. They're
right.
Just one block up on Fifth Street.
Which is nice to have something like that clustering.
Yeah.
And how are things with the time bank? Because I want to say one thing is in addition, as far as the number of listens that have taken place on the podcast, there are three that are in the lead and have consistently been in the lead as far as people's interest. One is the share exchange. The second would be the time bank. And the third is from the workers' cooperatives out in the South Bronx, Omar Feia, an interview with him. Those are the three. They all have to do with cooperatives, and they all have to do with some sort of like sharing. Very popular concepts.
Well, and I think that's because the people are interested in this, and we don't get to hear about it very much on, you know, mainstream news and mainstream radio. You kind of have to hunt this information down. But the idea behind time banking is wonderful. There are time banks all over the world that are very successful. Ours had a great start, and we have a team working on it right now that kind of reeled it back in a little bit. They're looking at all kinds of issues that have come up legally and whatnot around time banking. And of course, these great solutions are going to run into some interesting roadblocks. There are other time banks around the country that have been denied nonprofit status. And so that's concerning. And so this is basically a think tank group that is looking at these issues and figuring out the best path forward for the Sonoma County. We're calling it the Sonoma County Time Exchange.
Great idea. Where this starts to move to is that when we talk about transitioning to a new local economy, that actually is in keeping with the concept of the Transition Towns movement. I know that you've had some involvement. You've hosted the Transition Town. Transition Santa Rosa uses the share exchange. And can you share with the audience about it, in particularly in the North Bay of California, or even just from your perspective, what is it that we need to be doing?
Well, the transition movement is strong, I'll say, strong and growing and just like took off. There's a lot of excitement in this region because the headquarters for Transition US, the national headquarters, is now based in Petaluma. They are doing a fabulous job helping communities get transition towns going wherever they are. We have three of them existing in Sonoma County, with the fourth one, the newest one, being Transition Santa Rosa, which is just getting off the ground. So the first was Transition Cotati, then Transition Sebastopol, and then Transition Sonoma Valley. So those are the three existing ones, and they're all doing really good work. I was involved with the startup of Transition Sebastopol, so on the initiating committee, and one of my parts in that was to do a big community mapping event. So we had all these categories around what makes a thriving, resilient community: local food, childcare, senior care, energy issues, employment, all kinds of things. And we mapped out, what does Sebastopol already have that we should be supporting, and what does it still need to become a more resilient, thriving transition community? We got tons of information, and that gave the working groups, I think there are eight different working groups there, it gave them a real head start on where to find partnerships and what projects to focus on.
A couple of interviews that I've had on the show. One is with Tracy McMillan, who wrote The American Way of Eating. And one of the things, one of her areas of study, in fact, she worked there at a Walmart, to see firsthand how this gigantic conglomerate that handles and sells more than 25, and in some communities, since they've driven out other businesses, they actually sell 60% of the food that's consumed in the community is sold at Walmarts. And one of the things that we talked about was, well, what happens if there's sudden fuel shock? There is gradual fuel shock happening right now. Gasoline is almost over $5 a gallon, and that's for the cheap stuff.
Right.
When it starts pointing to $10 a gallon, and when it starts to be where maintenance and infrastructure repair falls by the wayside, and these trucks that are delivering to Walmart and the great big giant box stores can't always make it,
well, you know,
we're going to need some local food.
Yes, we are. We need to be focusing and making long-term investments on things that we really need, and food is right at the top of that list. So more local food production, to me, it's a win-win-win situation. It's, we have a great climate, great soil, agricultural history here. We can do it. Second, it creates jobs. So we're looking for where jobs are going to come from. Well, hey, guys, let's grow some food. Three, when the earthquake hits, when we have more sticker shock at the gas pump, we can't fly in those tomatoes from South America or the kiwis from Australia. We need to be growing those things here, or we're going to be looking at a $10 tomato or a $15 kiwi. We're not going to be able to do that.
And it's sort of like anyone who knows somebody who's been foreclosed, anyone who knows somebody who's been laid off, anyone who knows someone who's unemployed. When you think about it, as these ripples keep going out and people get into these situations where we're not rolling in money anymore, think about that. When fuel gets that expensive, when food starts getting that expensive, it's really time to start looking at that.
Well,
that's going to be. That's what I'm hearing you say.
One thing that's pretty interesting to me about the economy is we've had the luxury of very inexpensive goods, and so much of that is because we have slaves working in other countries to produce our goods. And so they're working for pennies a day to produce goods that are shipped over here in giant containers and then marked up and sold at big companies. And all of this is going to start to equalize at some point for lots of reasons. And the sooner that communities can get organized around what do they really need, how can we start producing what we need here and creating local jobs, bring back local manufacturing, bring back local food production, start sharing, cooperating. These are the solutions that we need to be moving toward, and we need to do it fairly quickly.
Now, somebody's listening to the program here, and they're going, okay, I'm all over it. Who can I contact? Would you recommend that people be contacting Transition USA or Transition Sebastopol?
Yeah, you can find transition towns in your area if you go to transitionus.org. Mm-hmm. That's the national transition town website. One of the things that we're going to be launching next week with several partners is the North Bay chapter of Slow Money.
Oh,
and so if there are venture capital people out there or investors listening to this, the Slow Money movement is following on the heels of Transition, which is how are we going to fund this movement?
Right.
And let's start shifting some of our investment dollars into more local food systems, more local manufacturing. So I'm real excited to be a part of that group.
And it looks as though with that kind of a pattern where the local production of food, for instance, starts to attain precedence over maybe having a big box store and being the manager of it, in terms of what's of value to the community, we're going to start seeing a lot of prestige being given to farmers.
Absolutely.
Because they're supplying something that we need.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we need our farmers, we need farmland, we need through the whole food system. You know, we need our little markets, we need our food producers, our co-packers. They're critical to our society functioning. You can see the shift already happening, mm-hmm. but it would be good to get more support for this movement towards localization. And that's what we talk a lot about at the Share Exchange is economic localization. Let's figure out how to produce what we need locally, creating jobs along the way, supporting each other. It's a mutual support system that we're trying to create here. This is not a liberal left-wing crazy idea. This is mainstream. Cooperatives have been around for a long time. Local food production is what this country was based on.
Really?
Local manufacturing is what made the United States great. And what we're talking about is kind of reclaiming that and helping each other.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, organically farmed food had a much simpler term. There was a simpler term for it that our grandparents used, and it was simply food.
Yes, my grandfather grew
food. Was organically grown.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much information out now about what has happened to our food system and how contaminated it is and how processed, over-processed it is. And, you know, the cancer rates today are 1 in every 2 men, 1 in every 3 women are going to develop cancer. And it's because of the food we eat and the pollution in our environment. And that's why healthcare is such a huge business.
Yes. You know, there's really a lot to talk about in some of these subjects. You are personally involved in promoting urban gardening, aren't you?
I am. Last year, we at the Share Exchange held a workshop. We brought a farmer in that specialized in something called SPIN farming. It stands for small plot intensive. And the idea is to grow food in urban settings.
Mm-hmm.
So you take over your neighbor's yards with their permission, and grow food. And so we thought this was a great idea and transformed our yard and two of our neighbors into pretty heavy-duty food production and started selling to our local restaurants.
Excellent. And I've seen that in practice in Albany in particular. I've heard about it happening in Richmond, California. And also Albany, California, which is just north of Berkeley, they have a very advanced and well underway program for that. In fact, every weekend they have work parties for converting lawns into farms. And they're supplying schools, they're supplying homeless shelters, they're supplying the food bank, they're supplying, like, and they're also having enough left over to sell to restaurants. They're supplying everybody.
Well, you think about all the yards you see, if those were put into food production, then we're starting to connect the dots and close some open gaps. You know, we're creating something that's valuable. People, restaurants can buy it, local markets can buy it. We can start neighborhood community-supported agriculture programs, neighborhood CSAs. That gets me really excited. And just sharing an abundance. You know, nature provides so much. From one seed, you get so many, let's say, zucchini or cucumbers or tomatoes. It's just amazing, the abundance out there. But we just need to change our mindset and start doing it.
And we have a chance to get started on that.
We do.
And so I want to thank you, Kelly Rajala, for coming here to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio and talking to us about the Share Exchange transition and the various activities that you have been involved in, both through this Share Exchange, through the Transition Town movement, the spin gardening that you've been involved in, and sharing that with our listeners.
It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you, Daniel. Thanks so much for all your great work, because without it, who would know?
That's what we're all about here.